How do you describe ingratitude? It's more than indifference. It's acting in a way that shows that the person, though somehow perhaps recalling that you've done favors for him or her, no appreciation, none of those little amenities that we so expect, especially in a religious community. And it means adding to a lack of appreciation, acting toward us in a way that the person must know hurts us. This love that Christ our Lord taught us at the Last Supper is loving in spite of resistance to being loved, even though we suffer injustice. It's the surfacing of all those incredible passages of the Gospels about loving your enemies, loving those who hate you. You know the trouble with most of us, sisters? We are what we call symbolists when it comes to reading the Gospels. The Gospels, certainly in this case, are to be taken literally. People do dislike us, and there may be enemies. And the surest way to make an enemy, sisters, I'm not recommending the practice, I'm just stating a fact, is to tell people the truth. Hilary Belloc tells a story that I think sort of synopsizes what I'm trying, hopefully, to clarify. Have you heard the story of the GI in the First World War? Well, Belloc swears by its authenticity. It seems that there was a soldier in France, an American, who one Saturday night was in a tavern brawl in France. During the brawl, there was some shooting. Before the military police cleaned up the mess, a girl had been shot and killed. This young man was found with a gun in his possession, was put on trial for the murder of the girl. Circumstantial evidence was such as to indicate that he was the guilty one. He didn't defend himself. He was condemned to be executed. The night before his execution, he called his lawyer, the counsel that had been defending him, to the cell. And Belloc claims to have got the story from the lawyer. The young man told the lawyer, "I guess I wasn't much help during the trial." The lawyer said, "You sure weren't." "Well," he said, "I didn't kill the girl. But I know who did. And the man who killed her knows that I know that he did." Now, he said, "I'm not a religious man. I don't think I've been in church a half a dozen times in my life. I don't even know where I heard this. But I heard someplace, I guess it was a preacher, who said that some great man by the name of Jesus once said the greatest love you can have for a friend is to lay down your life for that person. I was an orphan when I was a kid, lost my parents. An old farmer, or let's make him not too old a farmer, adopted me. He's the one friend I've got. He killed a girl. I think I should show my appreciation for him. Christ's love, we know, is really God's love for us in human form. And after we've said so much about loving others in spite of indifference, in spite of ingratitude, in spite of injustice, remember this is God talking, telling us to love others as He, God, loves us. And how is that? God loves us with infinite adjustability to us. He loves us as we are, with all we've got, as persons. We are different. Now, God is infinitely adjustable. We don't quite mean that. You know what I'm trying to say. We should, in imitating Christ, be at least finitely adjustable, and to love others as Christ loves us. And this is not easy. One person likes to talk. So to adjust to that person, we keep silent. I don't mean dead silent. But interestedly silent, so she can talk. Another person doesn't like to talk. So what do? I adjust to that other kind of personality. So I talk, but I don't like to. That's not the point. Christ's love, infinitely patient, over a long, long time. We tend to give up on the people that we love. God never does. But everything is ultimately summarized in what Christ really wanted to get across. This love that He tells us to practice towards others is at the cost of self. That's what selfless love means. It means that I love in such a way that it costs me. If my love does not hurt, I'm not really loving as Christ wants me to. And it might be well to remind ourselves that the word patience comes from the Latin pati, which means to suffer. Love suffers, or it is not loving. Let's ask our divine Savior, in response to His own mandate to love others as He has been loving us, to teach us what this means. Under God's impulse, we have left and sacrificed a great deal that we might have enjoyed in the world. Yet, believe me, sisters, when I say this, One thing God does not want us to give up. And we don't take a vow not to be loved. We have sacrificed opportunities for being loved in ways that were open to us, free, good, holy. But we entered a community which is either a community of love or it is not a religious community. And whatever resolutions you make during this retreat, don't make too many. Do look at what we all must look at. To what extent have I given of myself to satisfy that deepest hunger of the human heart for love? In those who have given up everything, not quite. They have not given up. God does not want them to give up their desire to be loved. What have I done in the past? What can I do in the future to make sure that at least I will not be wanting in that sometimes crucifying self-sacrifice in loving those whom God has put into my life for one purpose, to love them as He, this is God talking, loves me.
This tape was produced by Consortium Perfecta Caritatis. All rights are reserved.